¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website daspitlaw.com. Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website daspitlaw.com.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. Here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin. Theodore, breathe in, breathe out, me and more, breathe in, breathe out, never mind, it was time, number 9, let my lies, feline, with a death wish, be right, didn't help, no name on the guest list, hold on, we're destined.
Welcome to Hour 2 here at the DraftKings Sportsbook at the Golden Nugget. We'll get to a couple callers here. Let's start with Eric. He wants to talk some cinema. What's up, Eric?
Hey, Dale. This is other Eric. Okay. Along the genre of what I learned over the weekend, I went to the premiere Thursday night of Iron Lung. And I listen to this show, and I hear a lot of entertainment discussions, and I would just want one person to call in to me and tell me how that movie was not the most boring, lifeless, road-to-nowhere piece of $3 million not entertainment that anyone has ever created. I'm not a gamer, but after the end of that movie, I felt robbed of 2 hours of my life. I went to a 20-something couple in front of me, and I just said, what the F was that? And they shook their head. Then nobody knew. All of us in that theater were like, what the hell? Somebody explain to me what that is about. Somebody, please. I'll hang up and listen.
Well, Eric, there are enough people. It made $21 million. Well, 21.7. You're part of that box office. Michael did not mention Iron Lung, I believe, during our segment this past week when we do our TV and movie stuff on Fridays at 11:30. We were short on time a little bit because we got into some other things. So I don't know. It does have Troy Baker. He's probably best known as the mocap and voice for Joel from The Last of Us video game. So this is right in his genre, playing a character from a video game. From a video game from 2022. I have not played Iron Lung, the video game, did not know the movie, but you just got a review that told you it's not great. Rotten Tomatoes, what it's told you, not great, 50% on Rotten Tomatoes, so what didn't get strong reviews, and you got an even stronger rebuke of it from other Eric. You heard him. Call to action for you guys. If you saw it, he needs an explanation for what it was. The man sat in the theater, doesn't know what it was. Maybe you guys could give him some help there. Iron Lung out there, and the first thing I type in for it, the trailer. I see that, but also I see it's a slow, confusing, challenging. It's slow, confusing, challenging. But this guy said, and I absolutely enjoyed it. So some people like it. Other Eric, not a fan.
I do have mostly just seen headlines about, like, wow, it made this much money on a $3 budget. But, like, none of It's more of those headlines than this movie is good.
The quality
it's,
of it, yeah.
It's more of like, wow. I mean, it just seems like a streamer got a bunch of his fans to watch his movie, which, you know, hey, salute. But yeah, there's not much on, like, this is awesome.
Yeah, I'm looking at it, and, yeah, you mentioned that streamer. He went under his real name, Mark Fishbach, but according to, I guess his online alias is Markiplier. I don't know if that, I'm saying that right. And he got people to go watch his movie. Yeah, you mentioned better known as that, as opposed to his real name on YouTube. So he got his people to go watch it, and to a number that it made seven times what it cost to make. So that's a win for him, or at least a win for the investors and the production company. But as far as people who actually like it, doesn't seem like, at least when it comes to Eric and others, not a lot of people enjoyed that movie. Yeah, video games and their adaptions are certainly hit or miss. Fallout Season 2, after getting really good reviews for Season 1, at least the fans are kind of mid on Season 2. The Last of Us Season 1, kind of the same way. Hard to follow up, I guess, right now when it comes to video game adaptions as a TV series. There's going to be a new Resident Evil movie as well by Zach Krieger. So that guy has done good things with weapons. He's doing Resident Evil, so we'll see if he can kind of revive that franchise, because the most recent has been around for years now, but it became a vehicle for Mila Jovovich and her husband who directed it. It became less about Resident Evil and more about, hey, I can continue to put my wife in this movie. And they made a lot of them. I don't even know the lore anymore, and apparently from people who love the video game, they completely screwed that up. But Zach Krieger is going to try and do that and fix it, and it'll be this year. So he's a filmmaker who's kind of been untouchable as far as what he's done recently. So we'll see if he can start up Resident Evil. Did you watch Weapons? So one of the main characters, remember, I forgot his name in the movie, but Austin Abrams, he was kind of the drug addict.
Yeah, the guy who lived in the tent.
Yeah, he's going to be in that one. So. So we'll see.
Big look for him.
Yeah, I don't know what character he's playing, because I just went to IMDb and it just has people are going to be in it.
Yeah. No, but I mean, he's just going from like the, you know, sixth guy in Weapons to
one of the leads.
Yeah, it's a big jump. No, and Brolin isn't here to bail you out, Abrams, if we're talking about this like it's sports.
The movies, yeah, you can't, yeah, don't be a screen merchant. Don't be a Josh Brolin merchant. You can't do that anymore. You got to lead this thing. And Dylan from Severance is in it, too. So plenty of faces we're going to recognize in that one. We'll see how it goes. Let's get to Willie P. I mean, Willie P, I don't know if he's going to call in and talk about what I was thinking about yesterday. His team and mine played a really good match at Old Trafford. And Man U, for whatever reason, they have broken Fulham hearts late, and they did it again yesterday in at Old Trafford in Manchester. What's up, Willie P?
Good morning, Dale. Sean, how y'all doing?
We're good, man. How are you?
Not bad. Hey, Dale, what a game, man. I'm telling you, in the second half, I'm like, we're up 2-0. I'm sitting in bed. I'm like, oh, it's going to be a good Sunday. We cruising. And then y'all get those two goals back, especially that second goal by that little Brazilian kid, Kevin. Top 10. What a goal, Dell. What a goal. But, man, I couldn't believe we pulled out. It was a great game. But, hey, Fulham is way better than I expected them to be. And here's the thing. You guys played us tough and didn't even get Pepe in the transfer window, and Oscar Bob didn't get the play. So other teams in the inside the – I think you guys are like 7th or 8th right now. Better watch out, because you guys might sneak into the Europa League or the Conference League.
Yeah.
By the end of the season, because there's like 12, 14 games left, and with the other teams around them faltering, I mean, anything's possible. But the other reason I called, so I heard the show last Friday, and you were talking about Wonder Man and Olivia Thirlby, and I realized something. You may not be like me, who out here just you know how at the Duke Mayo Bowl they pour mayo over the winner.
Uh-huh.
You know, you're not out here like me pouring milk all over yourself in the general public, but you be dropping hints that you a milkman. You talk about some, oh yeah, I saw Olivia Thirlby, and I was hoping I was going to get to see more of her. And I said,
what is Dale talking about? Let me go check this out. And then I saw it, and I was like, oh, okay. And then I remember something you said with John and Lance in the third hour of the show on Friday about another female actress of the Caucasian variety. I was like, you know,
I don't think it was an actress. I believe it
was
Avril Lavigne. I think Lance makes fun of me about liking a pop star of my same age when I was a kid. And I say, oh, okay, I liked a pop star who was my age. Sorry. Look, I'm a deep cut guy though. I'm not like a Sydney Sweeney type. I'm not throwing some random blonde that's famous. I watched her in Juno. I've watched her in Olivia Thirlby. I'm talking about. I've seen her in a lot of movies that you would be call independent and all those type of things. So I know that name. It's like, oh, she's going to be in it, and she's been in it for one episode, like for 2 minutes. So we'll see if she shows up later in the season.
Real quick, do you remember the movie with her and what's the guy from Top Gun Maverick where they like are in an apartment during a snowstorm? Have you seen that movie? You know what I'm talking about? They have like a one night stand, and then they ended up like, I guess she gets snowed in, and they end up.
No, that's not her. You're talking about Miles Teller. Her. I know what movie you're talking about.
Imogen Poots.
Yeah.
Deep cuts like that, my boy. I feel you. We're the same wavelength.
All right.
Anyway, you guys have a great day. Love the show. Sean A. Mace. What it do, baby?
Man, trying to appreciate it, Willie P. Trying to bring me into the fold. Stop it. Look, you can be a milkman if you want, but don't try to corrupt me. I just recognize her from some things and wanted to see her in some other stuff, but she has only made an appearance. We'll see if she shows up in that one. All right, we'll go to break with that. Thanks for the call, Willie P. Anyone else want to join us and accuse me of being a milkman? You certainly can. 713-780-3776. We got a couple more segments to go here at the DraftKings Sportsbook in the Gold Nugget in Lake Charles. Sean and I till noon. We will be back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. Here's Del Olalea.
Because we are who we are, this is the show that we love to do. Sean and I did some research during the break, and what we found out is Willie P is like a whole milkman, like. Because even the actress he got wrong and then tried to correct himself with isn't the actress from the movie he's talking about. The Miles Teller movie called Two Night Stand, where two people have a random hookup and then are stuck together because of a snowstorm. He said first, Imogen Poots. It's not Imogen Poots. It's Annalee Tipton in that movie. She is the actress that Miles Teller spent a snow-filled weekend with. He may have been talking about a movie with Imogen Poots that involves Zac Efron and Michael B. Jordan. But if I'm like skim milkman, Willie P's whole milk. He's just dropping actresses' names. Doesn't matter who they are. He just remembers them. Let's get away from that. Question for you, Sean, before we get to this call. Do you believe Paul George? If you don't know the story, Paul George suspended for 25 games for taking drugs on the ban list. And, of course, we immediately assume PEDs. Paul George is telling us that the drugs, while he made a mistake, are not for performance enhancing. It is for his mental health. And Paul George has been a very strong and clear advocate of taking care of your mental health. This all stems back from the bubble where he talked about the criticism he saw online because of his poor playoff performances in that bubble. So he has been a staunch proponent of being someone who makes sure you investigate what's wrong with you if you're suffering from something and certainly taking steps to correct it in any way you can. So when you throw that into the mix, it becomes more of a tricky situation to challenge him on, because if you are someone who doesn't believe any athletes when they get busted, because they all kind of deny it and very rarely are they proven to be telling the truth on that, or at least in a way that makes the league that suspended them take back the suspension. It's generally like you're all like Lance Armstrong. He got that off, the whole recovery from cancer and him winning all the bicycle races, mainly the Tour de France. And it turns out he was on PED. So taking the history of athletes, recent history of athletes, not telling the truth on this into account, and then you throw on the fact that it is something that Paul George has talked about quite a bit. Do we believe Paul George, Sean, that this is simply a drug that that's on the list, but it's because of his mental health?
I mean, it could be that there always is the point, though, of like, before you take anything, you should check to see if it's on the banned substance list. Like, you should just, you have an entire apparatus to make sure that these guys are getting, you know, whatever medicinal needs they have while also not being suspended. Like, ask your team if you can take it. Yeah, that could be it. But also, you shouldn't take it if it's banned, or at least, like, run it up the pole to see if you can get, like, an exemption or something? Get a waiver?
Yeah, that's where you pause, right? Like, hey, understood. And because of your history, we can take into account that it may have been something you took because it was prescribed and you felt it was the best way to deal with whatever was concerning you. But if it's on the list, doctor recommended, have a discussion with, first find out that it's on the list, and then have a discussion with the appropriate people in the NBA to say, hey, my doctor prescribed this. I'm taking it for this reason. Is this good? And if they say, no, you don't get an exemption, that's tough. But then you talk to your doctor about, hey, my profession doesn't allow me to take it. We got to work with something else. Yeah. I don't know how flexible the NBA would be on something where the doctor's going, actually, he needs this. It's what I'm prescribing. This is something that will help him. And I don't know if there is any pushback, or would they say like, okay, we understand. But it seems like there are steps to take to avoid this scenario. Now, he took responsibility for it, but he still took it.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure where the disconnect is, what led to the, if there is a miscommunication or a simple mistake, how it came to this.
It also does, I mean, just in the statement, over the past few years, I've discussed the importance of mental health, and in this course of recently seeking treatment for an issue of my own, I made the mistake of taking an improper medication. I take full responsibility, blah, 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 Sixers organization, poor decision making. At least the part that I'm seeing in this article, he never said that it was prescribed by a doctor. So that could be the mistake, is that he was taking something that and didn't run up any flagpole at all. Like, wasn't prescribed.
Yeah, which calls into question certainly his decision making where this came from and why he's taking it if a doctor's not telling him to take it.
Like, he can, like, if it is this situation, like, he can get he can appeal directly to Adam Silver. Like, he can
Paul George is at the level where he can call and talk to Adam Silver about this. Yeah.
Yeah. It seems, I don't know. I mean, we also don't know what the
drug
is. So it also is just like so murky.
Yeah. Well, the inside the NBA crew, there are differing levels of their suspicions. Like Shaq said, hey, we all got the list. We all know what we can and can't take. Yeah. Stay on the list. What are you doing? Of course, Kenny and Charles have their opinions too. Kenny Smith was in the line of thinking that, hey, if it is something that you're taking for your mental health, the NBA would work with you on this issue, and they wouldn't even have. He said they probably wouldn't even have it on the list, because why would they if it's not a performance enhancing drug? Okay, and then Charles said flat out fishy to him. He's not sure he believes this because of what he believes is the NBA's willingness to work with you. If this was prescribed and it's something that you're taking for your mental health, why would they suspend you for it? So we will likely never know, because the NBA doesn't really push. They don't push back on the athlete as far as what the drug actually is or what it or was it actually on the ban list. It's not something they comment on after the suspension, so we're likely never going to know. So Paul George in that position can go and just say, hey, for my mental health, I took it. I made a mistake. Will we ever really know if it was an actual performance-enhancing drug? Probably not. It's probably going to get buried. And Paul George can have his narrative, and the NBA will say, hey, we're upholding our suspension if he does appeal, which I don't believe he is. So Paul George done for 25 games. The Sixers are fine. I mean, Joel Embiid is playing. They're in the middle of trying to stay out of play, and they're, what, sixth in the East, so they're going to – that's going to hurt them. They're starting small forward. He's not having a great year. And Dylan Brooks, when he was doing his podcast run, I think he was – or streamer run, I believe. He was talking to Neon, the streamer, I believe, and he said, Draymond and Paul George are bad at basketball because they're too focused on podcasting. And certainly Dylan Brooks is in a position where he can talk because he's having a really good year. He has certainly bounced back, and we've talked about it. His reputation, while people might still find him annoying, the game on the court allows him to have that conversation and talk about Paul George in that way because at points they weren't even in the same tier. Or, I mean, you could say probably 2 to 3 tiers separated those two guys. Now, Paul George has had a great career, but currently Dylan Brooks is a better basketball player than Paul George, which is something that I don't know I ever would have said. And Paul George has, look, he's been buried in Philly with injuries and the fact that team isn't relevant. And now he's done for 25 games and he'll be back for the playoffs if the Sixers make it, which they probably will. The East is bad enough that they could likely avoid the play-in if they play at this level that they're playing at right now. Let's get to Eric here before we go to break. Eric, what's up?
Hey guys, I think that movie you're talking about is that awkward moment with Zac Efron, Miles Teller, and
Michael
B. Jordan.
You're right on that.
Also, I want your thoughts on the NFL, Roger Goodell addressing the Epstein list. And you, I know there's some NFL owners that were friends with Epstein that went to the island. One of them mentioned was the Giants owner, Tish. I know I have a lot of maggots that listen to this radio station. And also, do you think there'll be a lockout for baseball next season because it cost Tucker's contract? I'll hang up the list.
Well, Roger Goodell will be available to the media today as part of the Super Bowl festivities, so I'm sure he'll get questions about the topic we discussed earlier, the hiring practices of the NFL, where no black coaches were hired, despite the 10 openings. Robert Saleh was the only non-white head coach to get a job. He's of Lebanese descent, so he has a job, and very few coordinators, maybe just the one, and Raheem Morris were hired. So, yeah, he'll get those questions. He'll get those questions about that. As far as the Giants owner, I'm sure someone will ask a question. I'm not sure what Roger Goodell can say about it. The Giants owner, or I don't know if he's officially an owner, but certainly a high-ranking member of the Giants group, said, look, Epstein, bad person, had very little contact with him after I found out he was a bad person. And he was like, please leave me alone. Well, he didn't put that in the messaging, but I believe that was the gist of it. Look, I've disassociated myself from him. Now, whether we believe that or not, and when he decided he was no longer going to be a member, or at least around Epstein, I don't know, a member of his friend group may be too strong, but at least someone who had correspondence with Epstein, I don't know. But he said, not me, Steve Tisch, yes, the co-owner of the Giants, said, look, man, that was long ago, and I'm not in any way connected with him, and I haven't been that way for years. So we'll see what Roger Goodell says. As far as what else did he mention? Oh, the lockout. Yeah, people have talked about it. The Kyle Tucker thing has upset people. I don't know if it has upset the right people. It upset fans to hear or see that Kyle Tucker, one of the prominent free agents this offseason, wound up with the Dodgers. Partly because it came out of the blue, but the Dodgers and how they do business and their access to funds are always lurking. And the fact they got Kyle Tucker upset the general baseball fan. The general baseball fan doesn't decide whether there's a lockout or not, but maybe the owners are pissed off enough that they require changes and Kyle Tucker, of all people, the face of the lockout. He will be, and we just, Sean and I discussed this, he will be the face of the lockout along with the Dodgers if it does go that way. Kyle Tucker's like, hey, man, I just want to play right field, not show up in the playoffs. Why me? It is not actually his fault. It's just the accumulation of what the Dodgers have done and where people see baseball is going. He may be the final straw.
Yeah.
What's going to happen.
I feel like last season we were saying the same thing about, or last offseason was the like, yep, inevitable because of what the Dodgers did this, you know, in the 2024, after the 24 season. So, yeah, I mean, it's like anything where it's like, was there one specific start to this? Not really. It's more a ton of small, you know, smaller things, and Kyle Tucker being the last one. But it is funny that it's just like, hey, man, it's the guy who, like, I mean, he played here for 5 years, and do we know, like, anything specific about his personality?
I don't know anything about Kyle Tucker.
I'm
sure he wants it that way.
Yeah,
and hell, if you can get away with it, if you can get away with that, great. I want to be rich and play baseball but not really be famous. That's probably the way I would go about it if I could. You always had Altuve as the front, not the front. I was going to say front facing, but the face of the Astros. And then you've had others as well, whether it be certainly Bregman and Correa. There have been other faces. The Astros have been so stacked with personalities, different personalities, but enough personalities and enough guys who people gravitate towards that Kyle Tucker did not have to be someone that we actually dove into. Tucker didn't appear on podcasts, from what I remember. Certainly not talking about anything beyond baseball. If he did interviews with prominent podcasts, he wasn't a guy who, hell, I know Lance McCullers loves animals and loves UFC. I don't know what Kyle Tucker thinks about dogs.
How much,
what he thinks about UFC.
How many times do you think we've played Kyle Tucker sound?
Sound.
Like,
yeah.
Of him speaking, not a home run that he hit. You know, like, it's like him and Yordan, we know the exact same amount, and Yordan does not speak English. Like,
or he allows an interpreter to give him a barrier between having to speak to people. So
Kyle Tucker's from Florida. What's your excuse,
Well, Kyle Tucker's cultivated a pretty good way of going about things. Hey, you don't know what I think about anything. I want it that way. Just pay me a giant salary, and I'll go play baseball.
All I want is over $50 million per year, and you to leave me alone, huh?
Yeah, and I'll play right field in Los Angeles. That's great stuff for me.
$250 in the playoffs?
Yeah.
Get on way. Why?
He'll probably get more attention for struggling in the playoffs now that he's got that big deal, but there's enough Dodger talent around him where it won't matter. He won't cost them anything.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there'll be more scrutiny on him if he struggles in the playoffs as opposed to what happened here. But it's the perfect life. And now it's all been screwed up, and now he's the face of the lockout.
Damn it.
Congratulations.
Now every article about the lockout
will mention his name.
We'll have my name.
Yeah. Man, the straw that broke the camel's back was the Kyle Tucker signing. Kyle Tucker's like, what? I've perfectly crafted my life in baseball, now it's all screwed up.
He hasn't even, like, accidentally shown personality at any point. Like, there
hasn't
even been, like where it slips a little. Like,
has he
Altuve was like angrily muttering to himself 2 years ago.
And there's he did the shoe thing where he took off his shoe,
like,
right?
He at least has explosions of he's not just like the nicest, kindest man who hits baseballs of all time. It's like there's three dimensions to him. But Tucker, it's like, no, he just kind of stands in right field, then hits 30
home runs.
Has
he ever not run out of ground ball? Has he ever done anything? I don't remember.
Yeah. I'm sure he has, not hustled down the line once or twice. But
I'm sure it's happened. I mean, but I'm sure I'm sure if he was asked about it after the game, he took full responsibility, saying, I can't do that to my guys. Stuff like that. If Fernando Mendoza is like the AI quarterback where he's got all these answers, and sure, they're a little corny to some people, but he's a guy who feels like he's almost not real in the way he goes about things. Kyle Tucker has even done better than that, where no one knows anything about who he is.
Hasn't had an answer.
No one's asking him questions, and no one's looking to go to him for answers or anything. Like, oh, the club is struggling. They would go to Altuve or Bregman before they got to Tucker. Tucker's like
Verlander. Like, there's just like nine people ahead of him on who you're talking
about. I commend him for the way he's gone about things. But now, You screwed it all up, Kyle. Yeah. Look at you, because you're a Dodger. All right, we'll go to break with that. We got a couple more segments to go. Certainly, you're welcome to join us. 713-780-3776 here at the DraftKings Sportsbook at the Gold Nugget here in Lake Charles. Just a quick trip, man. I mean, I left all at probably a little bit after 3:50. Don't remember exactly. Had to go get gas, got snacks from Bucky's, and I was here, and it was an easy, smooth ride. So if you're looking to get all the luxuries of those typical Vegas casinos without the travel problems, this is the place to be. I was actually, you know, I was actually up checking in, and the ladies behind the desk were having a discussion about someone who was from the Houston area, or at least was maybe driving to Houston, and they were and apparently the person was talking about how long it could possibly be, and they were surprised. Like, we didn't know what she was talking about. It's like a 2-hour drive, 2-hour 15-minute drive, depending on what part of Houston you live in to get here. So even the people behind the desk in Lake Charles here at the Golden Nugget know doesn't take very long to get here if you want to get here to enjoy yourself. So take advantage of that when you can. All right, we got a couple more seconds to go. We will be back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. Here's Del Olalea.
As you might imagine, there's not a lot of college football news to get to with the portal closing and the season ending a couple Mondays ago now, but Gus Malzahn retires. He had been the Florida State OC. That was his most recent job before he retired. He was going into his second season before he retired today, and they hired someone on staff to be the OC, so they'll need to replace that position, that open spot on the coaching staff. But as far as their OC, they've already made an internal hire. Mike Norvell has called plays in the past, so maybe he'll just do that as opposed to allowing Tim Harris to do that. But more on Gus Malzahn. I just went through his Wikipedia, his head coaching record in the seasons he's been a head coach. He has been a head coach for 13 seasons. Sean, can you guess how many times Gus Malzahn had a double-digit win season in 13 years?
13 yep. years?
13 seasons, yeah.
I'll go with 4.
You would think that because he's been a pretty prominent name. He's only had 2.
Really? So it's just the 2 BCS runs?
Yes. His.
Oh, no, the first one,
no,
I guess.
No, the first one was he was the OC for the Chizik one when they won the title.
That's where I went wrong.
It was the first year he took over for Gene Chizik with Nick Marshall, and they went to the BCS title game.
And 17.
And then in 17 when they lost to UCF, which he wound up coaching.
I was giving him credit for the Cam year, those two, and then I was like, he had to have had one more. Like, just one more, like at Arkansas State or something.
He went 9-3 and parlayed that into a job with Auburn, and as I said, he took over for Gene Chizik, so you could say he did it with Gene Chizik's players. And then in 2017, he went 10-4, losing, I think he lost his last 2 games. He lost in the SEC title game, and then he lost to UCF in the Peach Bowl.
National championship game, yeah.
Yes, well, certainly for one school playing it, it was a national title game. As you can look at their stadium, and I believe they still have that 2017 national championship, I don't know if you want to call it a plaque, but at least acknowledgement of winning that national title. That's what the UCF Knights do. So I brought it up because he's a coach more for moments, because he was a head coach for the Kick Six. And of course, if we remember that Auburn run, it was that the 17 run or the 13 run when the ball gets batted up in the air and the Auburn receiver catches it.
13. Those 2 plays happened a week apart.
Yeah, the Kick Six happened the next week against Alabama after Nick Saban campaigned and if you want to say whined, about getting one more second on the clock, and then that play happens.
The field goal that lost them a game.
Yeah, lost them a chance at a national title. All those things. And then you have 2017. So Gus Malzahn, of course, playing at Auburn, coaching at Auburn helps the cause. They had a lot of games on the SEC on CBS in that 2:30 slot, so that helps his cause. But as far as what we talk about him far more than his record should indicate, it's just that when he had it going for those two seasons, there were moments, because even that 2017 year, they wind up in the SEC title game, and if they win the SEC title game with two losses, they're making the playoff.
Yeah.
But instead, they got beat, because even that year was kind of similar to the year where they made the BCS title game. They put together two losses, but they're against like ranked teams. Like if you look at, and then actually they lost to LSU, who wasn't ranked at the time, but they lost to Clemson very early in the year as a ranked opponent on the road, and then they just put together a run and they beat Alabama again at home and got themselves into the SEC title game, where they would have been a two-loss team in the playoff. Instead, they get blown out by Georgia, and then they lose to UCF. So Gus Malzahn done for. And I don't know that Gus Malzahn was attracting a whole lot of players to FSU, but if you went there thinking you're going to get to play under Gus Malzahn, sorry. I know you've signed. I know he was part, maybe, of why you decided to be a Knoll. Well, now that you're locked in and the transfer portal is closed, bye-bye. Who knows?
Classic scumbag college football move. Wait, was National Signing Day? No, National Signing Day is probably like this week or something.
Well, National Signing Day
happens in December.
In December now for most people. I don't know.
Really,
if
make sure that we can screw
the traditional signing day that we're used to as kids. It's usually the first Wednesday in February. So, but most, I'm sure their class is already locked in. Not a lot of kids floating around still waiting to sign on the first Wednesday in February anymore. So, yeah, you're locked in. The portal's closed. Bye-bye, everybody.
Like,
we're talking about the high school kids. Yeah,
all
did
right.
Everyone get locked in with the FSU collective? And even the transfer portal kids, hey, I'm going to go play in a system that fits what I think my skill set is. And then Gus is like, nah, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm out. So maybe it's health issues. We don't know. Maybe it wasn't always the plan, but considering what you said, Sean, typical scumbag college football move. The assumption is, much like when we don't believe athletes when they say they made a mistake in taking something, this is like, okay, this was always in the works.
Yeah.
They just need to get through all the signing periods, and then we can go.
Yeah, you wait until the week after everything's all right, everyone's locked up, Miami can't steal another one of our players, all right. Yep.
No, Miami doesn't want any of those stinking players.
I know that. Yeah. But if we had a good player, you can't enter the portal on the last
they've got
day?
Okay. Yeah, they've got some guys on defense. They have the Sear twins are pretty good, who entered the portal then decided they'd rather stay with the up bag that FSU offered them, so they didn't actually leave. But offensively, I'm sure they're probably players who thought, hey, this particular system fits who I am, and FSU was like, hey, Gus, hold off.
Hold off.
And
because we can kind of lie and say, well, you know, Mike Norvell he has a say in this offense, even if Gus is the one calling it. But, yeah, no, I think this is the college football version of the college basketball coach that, like, resigns in, like, September and can handpick his assistant coach to get, like, the dry run to be, like, the interim job of, like, hey, if this goes well, then I'm just getting my friend the job. That's what Tony Bennett did at UVA. I think another one of the legends like also did that, where they're just like, now I'm calling it a quits.
Well, his son did it too at Virginia, right?
Yeah, Tony Bennett. Yeah.
Oh, you said Tony Bennett. I was thinking about Dick Bennett. Yeah, Tony Bennett did it at UVA. Hey.
Pearl did it with
his son. Yeah, Bruce Pearl did it with his. That was the one I was thinking. The other one, Bruce Pearl did it with his son. Made sure that his son got the job at Tennessee, or not Tennessee, at Auburn. So yeah, it happens quite a bit. Yeah. And Gus Malzahn doesn't have a kid waiting in the wings, it looks like, but Tim Harris will take that job, and maybe Mike Norvell will call plays in a year he's really going to need. Like, Florida State doesn't have any money to fire and hire a guy. That's why he still has that job. I wonder if it goes poorly, if he makes it through the year, or do they just suffer through? But either way, he's fighting for his job.
It feels so low stakes because it's just like this is just they're just waiting for it to be cheap enough to fire him.
Yeah, there's a guy who does stuff with CBS Sports Cover 3 podcast, Bud Elliott, who at one point did a prominent Florida State podcast until they were so bad people didn't want to hear it anymore, so he quit in the middle of it. He goes, look, guys, this program is dead in the water right now. No one cares about it, so we're not going to do this anymore. We're not going to waste your time or our time. He didn't expressly say because listenership went down, but we could guess that people aren't looking to listen to Florida State football talk as it stands now. Everyone's just waiting. He was asked about it at some point.
Yeah, there's just no
about the future of Florida State, and Mike Norvell goes, look, everyone's just waiting for the buyout to go down, and when it becomes something where it's palatable to people, he'll be gone. But right now, it's not something they're willing to swallow.
It's like the college football version of when the Houston Texans just didn't have a draft pick for 3 years, and they're just terrible. And it's like, there's no horizon where you're like, okay, well, we went through this David Culley year, but now we get don't get our own draft pick. What was it? It was from Titus Howard to Stingley. There just wasn't a first round draft pick by the Houston Texans.
Texans fans didn't even have the ability to pretend some first rounder could change the fortunes of the franchise.
You're just closing up shop.
You're not even something anyone. That was back still when the draft had the first and second round on the same day, right? But there was no excitement. And, of course, the franchise turned the minute they could take advantage of first-round picks again, Stingley first, and then you had to go through the year with Lovie. But also, you had when you had multiple picks because of the Deshaun Watson trade, you became not a contender per se, but actually someone who could win your division pretty quickly with Will Anderson and C.J. Stroud's impact. So Florida State is dead in the water right now, and the Gus Malzahn thing isn't something that's going to impact them very much, you would assume, but it is interesting to note that one of the coaches that played a part in at least a lot of big moments for college football watchers is now done as he says goodbye and retires after 35 years in coaching. Just Gus Malzahn, no longer a college football coach. And we're about done here. We went long, so we are just going to go to break. And actually not go to break, say goodbye. We do have one more day here in the Golden Nugget. John lands bright and early tomorrow. And then, of course, this show from 10 to 12. I was trying to think what's next. So of course, it's Rich Eisen's. Rich Eisen is up next because I can watch him on television right now. And he's got his Patriot fan, producer or co-host. We're talking about that guy last time on Friday off air. Sean, because he hears Sean is the one who helps get the Rich Eisen show on air. And we're talking about how delusional, I don't know his name. He was discussing how the cheating the Patriots did, it's very different from the cheating like even the Astros did. Hey, this is where we are. Patriot fans are everywhere. Patriot fans in the media, and we got to deal with them all week long. Thanks to Mike Vrabel, we got a 3 or 4 year reprieve of the Patriots and their surrogates being a thing. Now they're going to be promptly featured all week, and let's hope the Seahawks bury them. That's what I'm hoping for. I welcome a Seahawks dynasty before I welcome a Patriots return to greatness if I had to make my choice. But that's my personal bias, certainly playing a real part. All right, we're done. Rich Eisen and his Patriot fan contributor up next. I don't know his name. Sean, do you know his name?
I think it's Mike.
Sure.
There is a Mike on the show.
Okay, maybe it's Mike. Mike and Rich up next. On ESPN 975. But since we're done for the day, Sean, what does that mean?
For me, I just feel like they're really evil.
Thank you, Timothy Way. I agree if you're talking about Patriot fans. All right, we're done. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two forts of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.